I want to spend a few moments today as we begin this new series to look at this theme of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Specifically, I want to seek to answer the question of how do we find wisdom? I think for those dads who are here today, one thing that we would admit is that we want to be wise fathers. None of us want to be foolish fathers. We want to be good and wise fathers. In order to be wise, I think one thing we have to recognize is that wisdom is not always easy to find. It's not always easy to hear, but no one here this morning would deny that wisdom is something that we need. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge, truth, reason, experience to our lives. And the goal of wisdom is to live rightly in this life and to find true and lasting joy, true and lasting happiness. The good news is that wisdom is available to everyone. Wisdom is available to every single person here today. And if we're honest, we all need it, and we all can have it. Generally speaking, what we see in the book of Proverbs is the proverbial truth that wisdom, the path of wisdom, leads to a good life. Proverbs doesn't provide us nice and clean and tidy promises, if you do this, this will happen, but rather a general rule of life that if we walk on the path of wisdom, we can avoid the pain that often comes from foolish decisions, and we can experience the joy and happiness that comes from living wisely according to God's ways. Many of the Proverbs find their origin, in fact, most of them, from one of Israel's kings, one of their greatest kings, Solomon, who was the son of David. When he was selected to lead the nation following his father David's death, he asked for wisdom rather than earthly treasures and riches. And God answered his prayer, and he became known as one of the wisest men or persons to ever live in the ancient world. So we're going to spend some time this summer, 7 weeks in this book. And if you haven't read scripture on your own consistently, when somebody comes new to the faith, one of the books I direct them to is John, the Gospel of John in the New Testament. But another great place to start reading is the book of Proverbs. You can read a chapter a day and get through the book of Proverbs in a month. And it's the kind of book that lends itself to where you can just read a small amount each day. And if you'll follow the wisdom written in the book of Proverbs, it can and it will dramatically change your lives. During this series, we're going to look at several different themes in the book of Proverbs. And we're going to seek to understand, what does the path of wisdom look like? How does it help us navigate daily life? We're going to look at themes like how we handle our money and possessions, how we talk and interact with others, how we pursue sexual purity, and why it matters, how to be a neighbor. And we'll look at other themes as well. But what I want to do, since we're going to be spending about 7 weeks in the book of Proverbs, I want to show you a video that really will capture the overarching themes of this book. So go ahead and watch this video.
There are three books in the Bible that have come to be called the wisdom literature: Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job.
And all of these books are addressing the same set of questions. What kind of world are we living in? And what does it look like to live well in this world?
So, how to be good at life?
Yeah. So each of these books tackles these questions from a unique perspective, and it's important to understand all of them to get a fully biblical perspective on the good life. So, as a thought experiment, you could actually imagine each of these books as a person. So Proverbs would be like this brilliant young teacher, and Ecclesiastes, the sharp middle-aged critic, and Job would be this weathered old man who's seen a lot in his day.
We're going to start by meeting the book of Proverbs, the brilliant young teacher. And she's not just smart, she's smart about everything: work, relationships, sex, spirituality. She has incredible insights, things you wouldn't see on your own.
Yeah, she would be the perfect friend to have around when you need really specific advice.
So what makes her so smart?
Well, Proverbs can see things that most people don't see. She believes that there's an invisible creative force in the universe that can guide people in how they should live. And you can't see it, just like you can't see gravity, but it affects everything that we do.
So what's this force?
Well, in Hebrew, it's called chokmah, and it usually gets translated into English as wisdom. It's an attribute of God that God used to create the world. And chokmah has been woven into the fabric of things and how they work. So wherever people are making good or just or wise decisions, they're tapping into chokmah.
And whenever someone's making a bad decision, they're working against chokmah.
Right, or as it says in Proverbs chapter 1, the waywardness of fools will destroy them, but the one who listens to wisdom lives in security.
So it's like a moral law of the universe.
Yeah, it's a cause-effect pattern, and no one can escape it. And Proverbs personifies all of this as a woman.
Yeah, Lady Wisdom.
Right, and she roams around the earth, calling out, making herself available to anyone who's willing to listen to her and to learn. Which leads to the second thing Proverbs believes, that anyone can access and interact with wisdom and use it to make a beautiful life for yourself or for others.
You can create with it like a designer.
Yes, in fact, chokmah in Hebrew isn't simply intellectual knowledge. The word is also used to describe a skilled artisan who excels at their craft, like woodworking or stonemasonry. So you show you possess chokmah when you put it to work and develop the skill of making a good life.
Okay, that makes sense. So let's do this. Let's go find some wisdom.
But before you do, Proverbs has one more really important thing to consider. Chokmah isn't some impersonal force. It's an attribute of God himself. And so in Hebrew thought, your journey to becoming wise has to begin with what Proverbs calls the fear of the Lord. It's this healthy respect for God's definition of good and evil. And true wisdom means learning those boundary lines and not crossing them.
Now, all those ideas you just unpacked are in chapters 1 through 9 in Proverbs. But when I think of the book of Proverbs, I think of the collection of sayings, the Proverbs themselves. Tell me about those.
Yeah, those are what you find in chapters 10 on to the end of the book. It's a collection of hundreds and hundreds of proverbs about any and all aspects of life. And chokmah gets applied to them, resulting in this wise guidance to help you find a path towards success and no matter what you do.
If I design my life with these sayings, life is going to be good.
Yeah, or as Proverbs puts it, it'll give health to your bones, prosperity, a long, rich life.
Which is a really big claim.
But you can see how it's often the case. Wise people, they tend to do better. Things usually work out well for them in life. And so that is the promise and the wisdom of the book of Proverbs.
The book of Proverbs is really beautiful. But if we take a step back, some people would argue it's a little too simplistic. Because sometimes horrible things happen to really wise people, and sometimes foolish people get rewarded. It doesn't always work the way we think it should work.
That's right. Which is why we need to go and listen to our next wise friend, Ecclesiastes the Critic. Because he's wrestled with that very problem, and he's going to push us further in our journey to find the good life.
That creative overview of the book of Proverbs is one of the resources that I found on Right Now Media. And I just want to remind you, if you do not have Right Now Media, a subscription that our church has signed up to that makes all of these resources available to you, go on our website, PeoriaNazarene.com, and sign up for that. Right in your living room, you can watch videos. There's an excellent video on Right Now Media that does answers the question, how do you read the book of Proverbs? It's 8 minutes long. I wanted to show it to you this morning, but that was 4 minutes, and I know 8 minutes at a service, I couldn't quite do that, but again, it's free to you resource. Our church is invested in that, and we believe it would be beneficial to you, but there's tremendous resources out there that'll help you understand a book of the Bible like Proverbs and know how you can read it and what God wants to show you through it. Wisdom is so important. God has woven wisdom into the fabric of the universe. Each one of us need wisdom to live a good life. Now, following in the path of wisdom doesn't mean that you'll be spared hardship, as the video has shown. It doesn't always work out that way. Very wise people suffer greatly. Very wicked, foolish people at times seem to prosper. But from the perspective of eternity, where God is judge and God is righteous, no one gets away in the end. And no one suffers needlessly as well, because God is good and God is just. So I want to look this morning at the question of how do we find wisdom? We're going to look at what practical wisdom Proverbs has for different areas the next 6 weeks. But more importantly, even before we start considering those areas, we need to know how. How do we get on the path of wisdom? I think most of us want to be wise. And when we end up in a place that is the product or the result of foolish decisions, and we have regret, and we wish we could go back and change, we realize how important wisdom is. And the good news is it's available to every one of us this morning, even if we have made foolish decisions. And let me put it this way, we all have, including me, made foolish decisions. But there is a way back. There is a path that we can start following today. It's the path of wisdom. So how do we find it? I want to share three ways that we find that. Number one, search for it. Search for it. It starts there. You have to want to find wisdom before you can find it. Now, that may seem somewhat obvious, but the path to wisdom is not always easy to find. It is available to all who search for it, but we have to want to find it. The book of Proverbs makes this point over and over, and I want to invite you to look with me at a couple passages in Proverbs that talk about the importance of continually searching for it. Let's look at the first passage. It's in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. So again, this is wisdom personified, as you saw in the video. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. And then look at chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Notice chapter 1 said that Lady Wisdom is calling out, wanting to make all who would search for her wise. Here, this wise father says, you need to call out to wisdom. Wisdom is available to all, but we have to seek for it as for a hidden treasure. We have to search for it. Look at chapter 4, verses 5 through 9. Get wisdom, get insight, do not forget, and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. We have to search for it. If we're going to experience the benefits of living a wise life according to God's ways, we have to want to search for it. And not just want, we have to actually search for wisdom. When I was a kid, I grew up in the country on 91 acres on a farm, and one of my favorite things to do was to go out into the fields and walk. I'd walk for hours, and I would look at the ground, and I was seeking to find something. Anybody have an idea what I was seeking to find? Arrowheads, Native American arrowheads. And I would search, and part of that process involved positioning yourself at the right time. The best time was after farmers would plow a field, freshly turning over the soil. And if you really wanted to search at the optimal time, it wasn't just after they plowed, you needed a hard rain. I mean a downpour of a rain after that soil had been turned over, because any rocks that were lying near the surface that are covered in dirt, that hard rain would wash the dirt, and you'd see that white flint, that little white rock that shouldn't belong in that field. And if you're lucky, you'd pull it from the ground, and it would be an arrowhead. And I found a number of those as a kid, and it involved a great deal of patience, searching. I remember many days I'd walk the fields, and you wouldn't see a thing. I mean, not even a rock anywhere. And I remember one day I was searching in the ground, and it's a field that I had searched before. The ground had just been turned over, and within an hour time period, I found two arrowheads. One of them was a beautiful white flint arrowhead. The other was really remarkable because it was a black obsidian arrowhead. Now, what in the world is a black arrowhead that's obsidian doing in Illinois? And that's what made it fascinating, is this thing could have been thousands of years old, perhaps traded or was brought along during a migration of some ancient people. And holding that in my hand, the joy, how wonderfully exciting that was. But it involved a search. God has woven his wisdom into the entire universe that he's created. He has spoken his wisdom clearly and definitively through his word, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. And he has sent his son as the personification of wisdom, a living example of what wisdom looks like in human flesh. Wisdom is all around us. Well, then why do so many people make such foolish decisions? Why do followers of Jesus make foolish decisions at times? We have to want it. We have to search for it. The answers often are there, but we have to look to find them. You have to search for it. God wants us to find wisdom, but we must search for it. I think one of the reasons we don't want to find wisdom, because at times we know the answer already. And the answer is not the answer we want to hear. Because at times, wisdom tells us that we are wrong. At times, wisdom tells us that we must live against our desires. Wisdom tells us that delayed gratification is better, often, than instantaneous gratification. And we don't want that. So at times, we'd rather just not search for wisdom. Because if we search for the answer, we might find it, but we don't want to hear it. But the wise father in Proverbs, Lady Wisdom in Proverbs, calls out and says, "Oh, listen to me. My way is a good way. My way is the way that of no regrets. Follow me. Trust me." We have to search for wisdom. Secondly, if we're going to be on the path of wisdom, we have to recognize the source. We have to recognize where the source of wisdom is. Look at Proverbs chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice in watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. For the Lord gives wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Wisdom's source is found in God, the Creator. Wisdom is an attribute of God. God is wise, and if we are to know the path of wisdom, we must go to its source. Look at chapter 3, verses 13 through 20. "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Now listen to verse 19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths broke open, and the clouds dropped down the dew. God, our creator, is the source of wisdom. And if we are to live as a wise person, if we are to be on the path of wisdom, we have to go to the source. Not long ago, me and probably five or six of our trustees here who oversee our buildings and grounds, we're trying to find the source of a leak in the church. In a building built in the early 1970s, that's something that can happen. And I remember we discovered the leak on a Sunday morning. There was water leaking into the kitchen, and a number of trustees were going around and shining flashlights, moving ceiling tiles. And for the life of us, we could not find the source of the leak. We looked, we cleaned up the mess, and we knew it had to be coming from a certain area. We were searching, and then some other lay people interested got involved in the hunt for this leak. And as we looked, we ultimately couldn't find it. We had a couple theories, but we could not find where the leak was coming from. We knew water was running, but where was it coming from? So we called a plumber, the wise thing to do. And the plumber came out, and within 5 minutes, the plumber identified the source of the leak. He looked at the very spot we had looked, a condensation pump right next to a furnace. But the ground was dry there. We didn't see any evidence, and it wasn't near, directly below it, there was no leak. The leak was over there. Lo and behold, what we found out is that every time that condensation pump would periodically come on, it would spray water on the floor, would run down through the crack in the wall and drip at another location. And then it would evaporate, and we'd walk in there, we wouldn't see any evidence of water on the floor there. And he identified that, and he fixed it by testing that pump. And once we found the source, we were able to treat the symptom. There's a lot of times I feel in life we treat the symptoms. Pain shows up in our life because of decisions we've made. We want to fix the symptom. And that's important. The symptom's real. But we need to go to the source. God is the source of wisdom. And we cannot find wisdom if it ultimately does not lead us to God. All wisdom is God's wisdom. He is the source. And when we seek it from him, we can find that path of wisdom. And when we keep seeking wisdom from God, it has the ability to change our lives. So we must search for wisdom. We must recognize its source. Lastly, we must listen to it. We must listen to it. This may be the hard one. We search for it. We find it. We go to the source. But then we have to, where the rubber meets the road, listen to wisdom. That involves trust. It's not easy often, but it involves trust. Look at Proverbs 8. I'm going to read the entire chapter. It's worth reading. And I'd invite you, if you have your Bibles, open them up, look at this. And if you're not convinced of how powerful Proverbs can be for your life, just let me share an example here of how powerful it can be. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? Again, wisdom's for you, it's for me, it's for everyone. But we must listen. On the heights besides the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stands. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud, "To you, O men, I call, and my cry is the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right, for my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil are perverted speech I hate. Verse 14, I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight and I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule and nobles all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. Verse 22, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters might not transgress its command, his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. And now, listen to verse 32 here. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. He who finds me finds life. Listen. Listen to me. Are we willing to listen? It's one thing to search for God's wisdom. It's one thing to recognize he's the source. It's another thing to commit to listen and follow and obey what wisdom has to say. The promise that Proverbs gives us is that God's way is never wrong. Times it doesn't always turn out. I mean, that's why these are Proverbs here, the way we might hope in this life. But God's ways are good. They are just. The path of wisdom is always the right path. It is always the right path. Regret comes from realizing that the decisions we have made have led us to a place we didn't want to be. Wisdom is so much more than just knowing what's the right thing to do. It is a choice that we make to follow and do what is right. To apply wisdom from God's word, experience, from life skill to a specific situation to act justly and rightly. That's what wisdom is all about. We must want wisdom. We must know where to look. But ultimately, we must be willing to listen and follow the path of wisdom. So how do we do this? Notice that the voice is calling daily. Notice we are told to daily seek this. If we're going to listen to wisdom, it is absolutely necessary that we have a committed daily faith. If we don't trust God, if we don't commit to follow him, even when we can't see the fruit of that, we're going to cave in really quickly. And we're going to miss out on the good that God intends. Let me give you a couple examples that we're going to look at. The choice of purity. Our culture is screaming a very different message right now. Indulgence. It is telling a very different message than what the Bible has to say about purity. So if you are going to listen to wisdom, it's going to mean that maybe friends, co-workers, people are going to think less of you. In fact, they might even mock you. You might be seen as being strange. But wisdom is calling. And it takes trust where we have to say, I know the source of wisdom. I have searched for the answer and I have found it. And by faith, I will listen to it. Oftentimes that wisdom, and when we look back on a life, a wise life, it's not always in the moment that we see the fruit of wisdom. But over time, longer periods of time, we can see the effect and the impact of wisdom. Let me give you another example. Proverbs is going to talk about this a lot. The choice of living within our means. I think if we're all honest, every one of us here have made financial decisions that were not good financial decisions. We've done so impulsively. I think we can all own up to that. But our culture, the materialism, the greed, is constantly telling us that we need more. And it's constantly telling us that we can have more right now. We don't have to wait. We can borrow what we need now. We can have what we want now. Instant gratification. Now, if you're to be a person who chooses to live within your means and honor God with your possessions and with your wealth, that's going to mean that you're going to have a hard time keeping up with the Joneses. No offense to the Joneses. You're going to have a difficult time. You may not have what other people have when they have what they have. It takes trust. It takes obedience. And at times, we'd rather listen. We're going to get in touch with the voice of folly. That other voice that's telling us. It's the voice that is popular in our culture. It's the voice, and it's nothing new. Every culture has heard this voice. And we have a choice to make. Which voice will we listen to? If we listen to the voice of wisdom, we don't receive a promise that everything's going to go perfect. But generally speaking, it will go well. And generally speaking, not only that, will we experience God's blessing in our lives. And his blessings are so much more than material. Peace, true joy, true meaning in life, eternal life. God's ways are always the right way. So if we're going to walk on the path of wisdom, search for it. We have to search for it. Recognize the source. We have to recognize the source. Listen. Listen to what wisdom has to say and follow. Trust. The whole process involves trust. Keep trusting God. Keep listening to wisdom's call. You will never, ever regret that you walked on the path of wisdom. Well, today is Father's Day, and I want to share a story with you as we close. I want to share a story of one father's words of wisdom to his son and his son's peers. Now, if my father were asked to speak at my graduation, like most teens, we'd probably be a little nervous, right? And the story I came across is a story, true story, of Chief Justice John Roberts. And I have a picture of him here where he was asked to speak at a graduation of his son's ninth grade graduation. Now, I don't know what school he's going to, but my school, we didn't have a ninth grade graduation. At his son's school, they did, so... But he was asked to speak to his son. It was a small gathering, and to speak to his son and his classmates about life, to share words of wisdom. And I want to invite you to listen to what he had to say. In a nutshell, if you put his words of wisdom in just one phrase, here's what it was. I wish you bad luck. Now, when you're asked to come and speak, usually you're sharing words of good luck, of encouragement, for best wishes for the graduates. But he came, and his message in a nutshell was, I wish you bad luck. He told his audience that commencement speakers will typically wish you good luck and extend good wishes to you. I will not do that, and I'll tell you why. From time to time in the years to come, I hope you will be treated unfairly so that you will come to know the value of justice. Listen to this. I hope you will suffer betrayal because that will teach you the importance of loyalty. Sorry to say, but I hope you will be lonely from time to time so that you don't take friends for granted. I wish you bad luck again from time to time so that you will be conscious of the role of chance in life and understand that your success is not completely deserved and that the failure of others is not completely deserved either. And when you lose, as you will from time to time, I hope every now and then your opponent will gloat over your failure. Boy, it's just, this is brutal, isn't it? It is a way for you to understand the importance of sportsmanship. I hope you will be ignored so that you know the importance of listening to others. And I hope you will have just enough pain that you will learn compassion. Now listen to this. Whether I wish these things or not, they are going to happen. And whether you benefit from them or not will depend upon your ability to see the message in your misfortunes. It's a powerful word, isn't it? These things are going to happen. All of us are going to experience hardship, disappointment, loneliness in life. Will we follow the path of wisdom that is calling out? What will we do with what happens to us? This morning, I just want to give you a simple invitation. Number one, to admit that you've been a fool. I need to do that again. Because one of the greatest enemies of wisdom is pride, self-sufficiency. So if we're going to find the path of wisdom, we have to admit that we have been a fool. And then we just have to search for it. And guess what we find out? Lady Wisdom's already calling. She's been calling. Wisdom is right there. Recognize its source, that it's God, your creator, that he has a plan for you, that he has given his word, that all through creation, this amazing universe we lived in, his fingerprints are everywhere. His wisdom is seen through all of life. Make a commitment today to listen. Make a commitment today to listen to him. Get back on the path of wisdom. Let's close in prayer, and our worship team's going to come. We'll sing. Father in heaven, when we call you Father, we recognize the blessed privilege, how for years and centuries no one would dare call the Almighty God Father. But then you sent your Son Jesus into the world, who spoke of you as Father, and who taught us when we pray because of Jesus to be able to say, Father. When we call you Father, we are confessing our need of you. We are admitting that we do not have in and of ourselves what we need. We're admitting that you are superior to us. In honesty, we must confess to you that there's been many times in our lives that we've just had apathy. We've not really cared. We haven't searched for wisdom. Meanwhile, many times we have searched to please ourselves. We have diligently sought to make ourselves happy on our own. We've walked on the path of folly. We have been fools. Yet we are so thankful that even this morning again, wisdom is calling out. Wisdom is calling out again here today, saying, listen to me and I will make you wise. My ways are good. Today we want to recommit to search for wisdom. It's easy for us to feel the crushing weight of regret. At times when we feel regret, we just want to throw in the towel. At times we just want to say enough is enough. I'm not good enough. I fail. Why try again? That voice is not from you. That voice is not from you. Give us the grace to commit again today to search for wisdom. to recognize the source of wisdom, which is you, and then to have the faith right now to make a decision that whatever wisdom shows us, whether it's popular or not, whether it's convenient or not, whether it's hard or whether it's easy, we will obey you. We will listen. And in faith, we will get to see one day, even if that doesn't come in this life, but it often does, we get to see the wonderful joy that comes from following and walking on the path of wisdom. So lift up our hearts. Encourage us today. Lord, help us all to journey on the path of wisdom. I want to thank you for our fathers that are here today. Would you give them wisdom? It's not easy being a father today, just like it's not easy being a mother today. Not all of us are called by you to be fathers, only some are. But we all need your help and wisdom in every relationship that we have. So would you bless us with your wisdom? Would you help us to be examples to the younger ones here today who are watching us? Not just fathers, they're watching all of us. Help us to leave footprints on the path of wisdom. Do not let us leave footprints on the path of folly, because that path leads to destruction, but the path of wisdom leads to life. We rejoice in you. We ask your blessing now on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.